Welcome to FHSU Tilt Talk, a podcast about educational technologies, teaching and learning, scholarly research, and service, hosted by Teaching Innovation and Learning Technology staff. Welcome to this week's episode of FHSU Tilt Talk. This is editor and host Danny Riley. I wanted to hop in and explain before we jump into the conversation, as this one is recorded a little differently. Today, you're going to hear a presentation from Tilt's Assistant Provost, Andrew Feldstein, as he joins InScribe's Katie Kapler. They will dive into the making of the Tiger to Tiger community and how it pertains to social belonging with our student community. You will notice in this episode that they discuss many visuals as it was originally recorded in Zoom. If you'd like to view those, there will be two different versions of this episode available for you to watch instead if you find it helpful. One will be the condensed version that is a one-to-one match with this recorded episode, and the other is the full presentation on YouTube. I want to thank InScribe for allowing us to access this episode and for all of their help with this fun project. Let's hop into the episode.
Today, I'm really excited. We are going to be talking a lot about online students, but more broadly about non-traditional students and how we can think about ways to improve their sense of belonging and peer engagement, which I know is a very relevant topic. And we're going to dig into what we call the Tiger to Tiger story with Andrew Feldstein, who I'll introduce in just a moment here. My name is Katie Kapler, not as important. I'm Katie Kapler, co-founder and CEO at InScribe. So we are sponsoring this conversation today. If you're not familiar with InScribe, we're a virtual community platform. So we're designed to create spaces for students to connect with peers, faculty, and staff. And we are going to tell one of our favorite stories about how an amazing institution is using InScribe today with Dr. Andrew Feldstein, who is Assistant Provost for Teaching Innovation and Learning Technologies at Fort Hays State University. So Andrew, thank you so much for being here with us. I always love having you on as one of our guests. I know at Fort Hays, you put a lot of energy into really understanding the mindset and needs of your learners, particularly amid what was going on a few years ago with COVID. So walk us through a little bit about what that looked like and how you uncovered that there were maybe some gaps in the experience that your online students were having.
Well, sure. And that kind of goes back to the pandemic when, you know, for me, it was sort of realizing things that we should have realized all along. But we had, during the pandemic, as you all know, we all went home. And we did our jobs in either a makeshift space in our house or a not so makeshift space, but we lacked the same type of connection that we had, certainly in my case, working in, you know, in a university building and being able to pop out of my office and pop into other people's offices and have conversation on a regular basis. But we had, when we surveyed our students in May of 2020 after that first semester that they had been sent off campus early in March, we asked them some questions. One of the main questions, the first bank of questions was really asking them how we did in terms of the transactional things. Did we deliver in all their courses? Were the instructors organized? Were they getting their assignments? All of those things. This slide sort of talks to the point that our students agreed that the instructor seemed understanding about unusual circumstances and that courses were remaining consistent. Although you can see here that a larger number of our online students felt their courses remained consistent than our on campus. And that was because for our online students, their courses had been designed to be delivered online from the beginning.
Actually, I think 60% is probably a good number for that. So kudos to you guys.
Yeah, and we were happy with that number because emergency remote teaching was pretty ad hoc.
Yeah.
In our lives, and we understand that things may have been turned upside down quite a bit. So tell us about your experience with courses and with Fort Hays, but tell us really how things were going. And we had two types of responses. And the first type of response was students really an outpouring of students saying that they felt disconnected and they had a loss of motivation and that they felt their mental health was deteriorating and they missed their friend and they missed the library. And it was heartbreaking seeing those responses. And then we had a whole nother set of responses where of students saying nothing much has changed here. And it was interesting to see that gap, but of course we then disaggregated the question. This is the question, and we disaggregated the responses based upon our online students and our face-to-face students that had been transitioned off campus. And it was the face-to-face students who communicated to us most of those heartbreaking responses. And it was 46% of our online students said that basically replied with a shrug and that nothing had changed. And so, you know, first response, my initial response, a bad response, was, oh, great, nothing has changed. Until I started to reflect on it a little bit and I recognized that if nothing has changed when the world is turned upside down,
right,
we've got a problem.
I love the way that you were able to look past the sort of surface of what that might have told you that was reassuring and really think about what the actual implications of that information are. And I think we have a couple of examples of just some of those specific feedbacks and feedback and responses that you got from students. And I would guess most of these are coming from those on-campus students who, yeah, you know, are, you know, naturally were lives were incredibly disrupted. Say one more word about, so before we get into how you ended up tackling this challenge, you recognize that, wow, this has been the case for online students all along. Like, why did that concern you? What light bulb did that make go off for you?
Well, in part, and I mentioned this a minute ago, but part of that light bulb was me sitting in a makeshift office in my house. My wife had the actual office upstairs where she was teaching, but and understanding that lack of connection. And yeah, we had Teams and such like that, but I hadn't ever gotten really used to that. But I started really thinking about something that we'd been talking about for a long time, which was in the community of inquiry framework, and talking about social presence and thinking about how important social presence was to student learning, and sort of understanding, of course, that social presence wasn't something that our traditional face-to-face students were lacking when they were on campus. They were able to connect with one another, whether it was in the class, whether it was before class, after class, at the line at Starbucks, walking across the quad. They were able to connect with one another without us governing that process, without us having to structure it and saying, okay, here are some places where you can all talk. But we started to realize, and we've known all along in designing online courses, that you actually have to engineer places for people to have discussions and places for people to talk. And so we also realized that it was the conversations that took place outside of our site, not necessarily in our class, that were extremely important for students to be able to connect and unpack things for one another in a less filtered way than they would when we were present.
Right.
And so I started thinking about the isolation that came about through the pandemic and what we could potentially do to mitigate that for our online students, the ones that hadn't had that ability to connect even before the pandemic.
Yes, I love it. It's like we normalized this idea that online students were just gonna go it alone and like that's just how it's gonna be. And I also love what you just said, which is that I often refer back to this idea when we went online, even a long time ago, so much thought went into like, how do you recreate these learning moments around group projects and discussions, and not as much went into thinking about all the things you're talking about, the just casual conversations and all the stuff that happens outside of the classroom that is actually such a big part of your learning experience. And so this was kind of your opportunity, I think, to think about that and acknowledge that while you don't want to over-engineer that, you really have to be intentional about creating these spaces for your learners as well. So what were your goals? You recognized there was an issue. You and I started talking. I think you had this vision that a virtual community could address some of the gaps that you were finding. And this, I think, speaks to like some of your goals that you had for that space. How would you talk about that?
You know, it just sort of this understanding of, and a lot of this came from the student responses, but a real understanding of how important the spaces outside the classroom are for students to be able to help process things and to be able to get reassurance from one another that they're, you know, that they're on the right path, or and that they're not alone in what they're doing. And as I said earlier, the face-to-face students have ample opportunities to create these types of connections on their own. Our online students don't. Those students that are listening to that particularly complicated lecture online don't have anybody to turn to see if they're the only one or not. They assume they're the only one. And right. they don't tend to reach out to their peers. And they don't tend to reach out to their peers because they don't see the same type of cues that are face-to-face students. And they don't, they feel that it, you know, first of all, we haven't provided them a means to connect informally this way. And so they have to figure out how to connect. And are you going to email someone else in your class that you really haven't had any interaction with and tell them you didn't understand the lecture? Particularly when you're already thinking you're the only one that didn't understand the lecture. And right. it's and so there's this risk and fear of doing that and having someone, and I'm not saying this is a rational response, but to think that someone is going to treat you with disdain, a fellow student who understands and you didn't understand. And so there's all this self-doubt and self-talk that the extra step of having to initiate that conversation via a direct email or something is, it's too daunting for most.
It's too much. So, you know, we start talking, many, many months go by, and now we'll come back to what was happening in those months. But the output was the Tiger to Tiger virtual community. So I'd love for you to, we can hang on this slide for a little bit, but just talk a little bit about the community itself, your process of how you designed it and how you engaged students in it, and then maybe a little bit about how students were accessing it.
Sure. And I will say first that it was very important initially that this be a student-to-student community. This was not designed as students reaching out to tutors or faculty or others for specific help. This was just designed as an organic community where students could communicate with one another. And the beauty of the way that the community is set up initially is that it has pretty much all the same affordances that you're going to find in most social network communities. You can look on, you know, you're going to put posts in by topic. You can see that we've got some prompt topics along the side that we seeded the community with, the hello from home and homework help and others. Students can communicate directly with one another in the indirect way that one can do in a social network. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you're going to email somebody, you are actually intentionally emailing that one person, and there's this sense of potential rejection and things that make that a kind of a fraught communication. However, in a social community, you put a post up, and because you're not directing it to one specific person, there's less risk involved with doing that. But in this community, there's lots of ways for people to respond. They can upvote, they can react, they can just look at your post. There's lots of different ways that you can do it. When we set this up, we basically, there's an LTI integration between this community and our Blackboard site. So while students don't have to go into a course in Blackboard to access it, their landing page in Blackboard has a link to this site with a nice inviting banner that tells them to come in and talk to one another. And the reason we put it there was, while we wanted this to be a space for students, we framed it sort of within the Blackboard ecosystem because we also wanted it to be clear that there was an academic connection to the community, that it wasn't simply, we didn't want to turn it into a dating site or anything, you know. It was just a place to connect. And when we launched this community back in end of February, beginning of March 21, the outpouring from the students was absolutely incredible and incredibly gratifying. We had students that were saying, you know, they were, the Hello Forum was one of the first popular posts, and we had people coming in from various places in Kansas, and we had people coming in from California and North Carolina and Nepal and all over saying, wow, I can finally connect with others and it's wonderful. And thanks for doing this. And people that have been talking about having been in the program for a number of years, and this will be this was the first time they had an opportunity to connect with one another. And it was just amazing to see.
Yeah, I think we have a few examples, but it doesn't include, unfortunately, I don't know why I must have missed this one, but you have the great story about one of the early posts that came in, which, I mean, what we see here is great, right? It's somewhat practical. That kind of information is also extremely important for students, and it's a way to get a different level of advice, I would say, from peers than you would get if you went to your advisor or your faculty member, right? Students think about that information slightly differently. But there's also this very sort of social and emotional component that happens in these communities really organically. So tell us a little bit about that one story from the early days.
Well, there are actually lots of
yes.
I think you're referring to there was a student who, and this was actually in fall of 21. And okay. We were still in the after effects of what was going on through the pandemic at that point. But in her post title was, maybe I'm too old. And she's basically was talking about how difficult that semester was, and it was the most difficult semester that she'd had at this point, and juggling all of her responsibilities, and was thinking maybe, just as she said in the subject line, that maybe she was just too old for this, and that this was past the point that this was going to be meaningful for her. And heartbreaking to see that response. However, it was just the opposite to see the outpouring of support that she got almost immediately after posting that, and other students sharing their stories, and somebody saying that, I'm 52 years old and I too have been struggling, but I've had some successes recently, don't give up. And so there were a bunch of responses immediately that were there to help and reassure and provide some tips and advice based upon that response. The other important factor of this was, and you can see if you look at the posts on this slide, there's the little eye icon with the number of views after it. And within a day or so of that response going live, there were over 300 and some odd views of that post and of the responses to that post. And I maintain, and I'm fairly certain, that we retained at least one student that day, if not more, because all of a sudden, this was a community of people being able to share something In fact, one of the respondents to the original post was exactly that. It was, I was thinking exactly the same thing about myself. And so to be able to have, you know, if they had asked one of their instructors who would have said, yeah, don't worry, this is all good, that would have maybe been a little reassuring. If they asked their family, maybe that would be a little reassuring. But to get these responses from people who were walking the same path with them, and to get that type of reinsurance is a whole different type. And I got to believe it's a really powerful reassurance.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm really looking forward. And so, you know, that we're adding in now the capability for those people to find each other and then form, you know, smaller groups that live on where they can chat with each other and maybe get together in some synchronous moments. So I'm excited to see how that new feature set influences these folks to continue those conversations and kind of watch how that evolution takes place. But yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the views, because I think sometimes people will forget that the individual who's consuming content in these spaces is often getting just as much out of it as the people who are doing the posting, right? Because they see somebody reflecting their feelings or their worries or their question that they had. And even though they didn't voice it, there's something very reassuring about that process, right?
Absolutely. Totally.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about some of the results that you're seeing or what you see happening in here. So where are we going to start? Oh, so I think one thing that might be useful to talk about, you mentioned how students were accessing the space. You had actually a very intentional strategy for how to grow the community over time, which is, I would say, different than what some of our partners do. So just talk a little bit about that and why that was so important to you and whether you think it has been successful or not.
Yeah, I mean, it was really important to me that this be a student community. And in order for that to happen, it in my mind, it had to grow organically. Yeah, we would promote it. We would talk to people about it. But this had to be a place that people wanted to go to voluntarily. It had to be a place that students felt safe in communicating with one another. And so this is a, primarily it was set up as a non-supervised community. There were no all cap giant warnings, behave yourself and or you'll be whatever. This was just set up as a community. We invited our students to be there. We provided them an easy way to get there by directly clicking in on this banner. And I think we've changed this banner since.
Time for an update.
But clicking in without having to sign in, but the only people in this community would be students that would sign in directly through Fort Hays. So there wouldn't be, it would be bounded, a bounded community that way. And it was, to me, it was just important to let it grow. And I didn't want to force anything. One of the, early on, we have some student workers that we had put in as moderators because, we didn't know what was going to happen. And so I wanted student workers there in case somebody had a question. And we learned two things very importantly. One was in the thick of the pandemic, one of the first student posts was, who wants to go to Chuck on Fridays? Chuck is a bar just off campus. And so I got a note from one of the student workers saying, this is probably inappropriate at this point since we're all supposed to be not going out and socializing because it's April of 2020. And so she said, should I flag this post? And I said, no, leave it alone. I said, I was pretty confident that it would be pretty much ignored, and it was pretty much ignored. But the community grew, and I believe it grew in part because we let it grow organically, and the students understood that they could comfortably talk to one another in the community. One of the things that I want to mention, because this was something that we had that a lot of people very early on were very skeptical of the ability of this community to survive without lots of bad behavior happening on the site that we would have to deal with. And it is, okay, so March 2021, it's now just about March 24, so 3 years we've had this. We have not yet ever, and I'll keep knocking wood on this, had flame wars, had people insulting one another, had any kind of bad behavior. This was just a community of people that understood and continue to understand this is their community. This is a place where they can go for support, be it practical support or emotional support, and that it's a safe place for them to be. And yeah. Currently, we're averaging, I think we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,100 or so students every month that are in this community, either watching or actively participating. And it's, and it, I think, mostly because we've let this grow.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm glad you've mentioned that, because when you say it's meant to be an unsupervised community, I wonder how many people in the audience were, you know, that maybe you're gone off the deep end, but
there is a question.
Yeah, sorry, related to that. Go ahead, Danielle.
It was sent straight to the host and panelists. So, Andrew, how do you explain to your new students how to use the platform? Obviously, we talked about the different channels that there are in there, resources, tagging, and topics. So how are you explaining to your students how to use it?
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, we have, and you guys created a nice little intro video that they can watch going in. But by and large, this is a social network site. They know how to do this. it was designed specifically to leverage all of the typical affordances that students have in any social network site that they use. They have the ability to create posts. They have the ability to upload photos, upload videos. They have now we've extended that out. They have the ability to connect and have synchronous meetups. So, but this is not the type of community that we need to show them how to do. They know how to do this better than we do.
What happens when students are timid? How are you getting them to engage more?
That's a good question. And the real answer is we're not. They're engaging because this is a peer-to-peer community. They are engaging when they see that it's a safe community, when they see there's no conflict going on, when they see that no one's insulting one another. One of the other important triggers that lets them participate is they see other people talking about the types of things that are important to them.
Yeah.
Just like in the conversation where, am I too old? One of the responders responded because they were meeting a real human need of another student. Mm-hmm. And that's what took them into the community. It wasn't that, I don't know that extrovert, introvert, that sort of thing really played into that. It was somebody identifying with another student and knowing that, or hoping that they could offer some comfort or some encouragement based upon their experience. And that's sort of the way that natural face-to-face communication happens as well. And so, right. Yeah, and that was, this, again, that it was intentional to try to let the students find their way and to create these. There were, I will say that we have had the folks in our virtual college, there's a day in November called National Distance Learning Day, and they've actually helped us a bit by going in just prior to that, asking students to share stories about their experiences being online students, and offering, I think they offered prizes for the best, most viewed, most responded to responses. And it's a fun day, and it probably gives us a little bit of a bump But again, that's only one day in a year that they do that.
Yeah. And I think these spaces naturally are actually more welcoming for timid participants than like a synchronous event or a face-to-face event, because you can, you know, take your time to craft what you want. You can change your profile picture, like your identity can be what you want it to be. So I think you tend to see a broader level of participation anyway, just by creating some of these simplicities for them.
Right. And we know that from our work with discussion boards, even when we have face-to-face classes. When I was teaching full time, and I would have an online community because I've been doing this for a while, I would often be surprised that one of the most outspoken, articulate members of the online conversation was somebody that didn't say a word in class.
That's right. Totally.
So, because the asynchronous component here gives people time to reflect on what they've seen, reflect on how they want to respond. And so it's perfect for folks that feel more comfortable doing things that way.
Yeah.
We have a couple of other questions.
Okay,
cool. The first one, I think we shared that the Inscribe is integrated into the LMS. This person specifically mentioned Blackboard. And Andrew, I don't think we have alumni in your community quite yet, but this person is asking how maybe alumni might access the community if they're not in the LMS.
That's a great idea. That's something we would need to work on. Right now, it's based upon their logins or single sign-on based upon their Active Directory credentials. And that's because we do want to have this as a bound community for Fort Hays students. We're not looking for the extra complication of outsiders going into our safe space. Although I think it's a great idea to try to figure out how to get alumni involved, because they can certainly offer an amazingly powerful perspective that our current students can benefit from.
Yeah, mentorship,
well,
right?
Let's talk about it, because technically it's possible. We do have some partners that are doing it. So Andrew, we'll get together after and talk through how to make that work for you. Because I agree. I mean, alumni and part of your students that are in the community now, right? 3 years later, some of the early adopters probably are alumni, you know, and so welcoming them back in to share their journey and where they are today would be super powerful. Did you say we have some additional?
We do have another question. Yes. You had mentioned that there's oftentimes concerns about bad behavior. So how do you manage or address any of the concerns that come from parents, students, staff in about the online community?
Well, I tell them that we've been doing this for 3 years and haven't had any problems. One of the things that, I mean, we have the ability, and you guys have built in the AI component, which triggers for moderation posts that are, there are certain language cues within those posts that determine there might be some negative affect in a given sentence or two. And so we see those. Again, by and large, it's the typical thing you would see. Somebody isn't happy that their instructor, that they may have put an assignment in quite a while back and haven't heard from their instructor. And we are not going to moderate that comment. I mean, we don't, if we try to keep, I'm not sure what the word is, but we don't want to whitewash the site so that it looks like everything is sunny and bright, because that wouldn't be authentic to the students. But I guess back to the question, what we do is we tell people we have that ability, and if something were egregious, we would be able to deal with that, but hasn't happened yet.
Well, and I think too, which is great. And I think to your point about that, the example that you gave, you can actually learn a lot from even some of the not 100% rosy comments that our students are giving. You know, you can identify where there might be gaps in support or communication or operations that if you address them, it makes everybody's life easier and happier. So not suppressing those viewpoints can actually be very advantageous. How are we doing, Danielle, on questions?
We've answered all the questions. Just a quick time check. We got about 8 minutes.
Awesome. Okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit. We might skip over a few slides because we have so much great content. We always have too much to talk about, you and me, Andrew. But I did want to talk about some of the results that you're seeing. And you did touch on these a little earlier in terms of, you know, once you started to do the research and survey your students, what you were hearing. But let me just bring up a couple of result slides from what you were talking about, if you don't mind just speaking to these quickly.
Sure. And this was based upon that survey we conducted back in November of 22, which was specifically designed to address social belonging, social capital in the form of social connections, as well as how people were using the Tiger-to-Tiger community and whether they were getting value out of it. And basically, the survey of participants showed that people that were using the Tiger-to-Tiger community absolutely agreed that they were more engaged, that they felt more connected, that it added value to their learning experience, that it was helpful, and also added, and they were also satisfied with that experience. And these were some pretty good numbers. Most of this survey we're in the process of publishing some of this information. We followed up with interviews with a lot of people that were using it, and it was gratifying to find that the main purpose of the community was being met, and that was in fact to have our students feel more engaged and connected to Fort Hays, to one another, and to the fact of why they were here, which was the learning piece.
Yeah. And I think we have one more. I don't know if this is slightly different than what you were speaking about before, but you mentioned earlier this idea that students already feel a deep sense of belonging with your institution, but not online students in particular, not necessarily a sense of connection. And I think what I find really important there too is that belonging isn't like a singular dimension. You know, you can feel a relationship with an institution, you can feel a relationship with your faculty, you can feel a relationship with students, and they all kind of come together. And so by not thinking about that as a single thread, by kind of going beneath the surface to really understand where is the belonging coming from, where are maybe the gaps that could get us in trouble down the line, I think was a great strategy and will set you up for much deeper long-term success with those learners.
Right. And this and the slide you're showing here is what I was talking about earlier. We had 82% of our on-campus students and 81% of our online students agreed with the battery of social belonging questions that they belonged at Fort Hays State University. But when we changed it to questions that were more related to social capital and being connected and being able to get answers to questions or talk to people about things, 70% of our on-campus students felt they were able to do that, which was a 12% drop there, but only 47% of our online students. So we're talking about a really significant drop from our students, our online students who believed that they belonged at Fort Hays. A whole bunch of those students still didn't feel connected to their peers.
And did you see that connection piece change after the Tiger-to-Tiger community was implemented?
We haven't done that survey
yet. Ah, gotcha. Time to follow up. Awesome. Well, Danielle, do we have any additional questions? Because I know we're getting close to time here.
Yeah, we have one question that was sent to the host and panelist, Andrew. Did Fort Hays have an online community platform before Inscribe? And if not, what did you do to bring all your students together?
Well, I mean, prior to Tiger-to-Tiger, It was what was considered the usual channels. They were, you know, in Blackboard, in their courses, instructors would typically have discussion boards that would try to have some sense of connection with students. But all of this work was done within the context of the courses themselves. We did not have a community, an overarching community like this. And it was, that was kind of, as we said towards the beginning of this conversation, it was kind of the pandemic that hit us over the head with the need for this sort of thing for our online students.
And I think a lot of people are in that boat, and from the results that we saw in our poll earlier, kind of making that transition and thinking about ways to bring more of these capabilities in for those students, which I find very exciting and like think we're all heading in the right direction.
Thank you for listening to this episode of FHSU Tilt Talk. Subscribe on Spotify, Amazon, and check us out on the TigerLearn blog or the Tilt social media pages for updates. We'll see you next time.